Early voting starts in Massachusetts on October 17th, but in some places the vote is already underway. Meanwhile, President Trump is trying to cast doubt on the election process. Here is a moment from last night's debate.
You're sending out 80 million ballots. They're not equipped to. These people aren't equipped to handle it, number one. Number two, they cheat. They cheat.
Let's get the facts from Massachusetts Secretary of State Bill Galvin, who joins us on the line now. Secretary Galvin, welcome back to Radio Boston.
Thank you. How are you with you?
So the president told the American people last night that he anticipates a fraudulent election, that he doesn't intend to concede if he believes fraud has happened, and he has said in the past that he believes any outcome in which he does not win will be fraudulent. So I want to start there. Do you have any reason to believe that the voting process in Massachusetts will be fraudulent? Is our process secure?
No, I do. I have no reason to believe that. The facts speak for themselves. We just had a very successful primary on September 1st with a record turnout. These were contested elections. There were candidates running against each other. Obviously, they wanted to win. They were satisfied with the results. I think the voters who participated by mail or early in person or voting at the polls all felt that their votes were counted. The results were determined in most races on election night. All the evidence, not just of the recent election, but in our elections in Massachusetts and frankly, in many other jurisdictions, all evidence the fact that most election administrators are honest people. They want accurate results. And his continuing comments, he offers no facts. It's like his tax returns. He doesn't put up anything. So at some point, I think we have to draw a line under it and say it's the only thing fraudulent here is his comments, which are fraudulent. And if we're going to spend all of our time from now, November 3rd, reciting the realities of the world compared to the lack of reality of the world that he lives in, I think we're just wasting our time and taking time away from doing a good job.
Let's jump into the nitty-gritty. What are your projections for how many people will vote and the percentages that are going to vote by mail versus early in person
day? I cannot at this early point offer you a precise number. What I can tell you is we had 3.3 million people vote altogether in 2016. We had 1 million of those persons chose to vote early, primarily early in person. It certainly suggests to me that we're going to have more than that this time. The level of interest is higher. So I'm anticipating we'll exceed our last record, which was 2016, of 3.3 million. We do know that well over 1 million people have already applied to vote by mail. Obviously, we didn't have the pandemic 4 years ago that we now have. Some of those people may choose not to end up voting by mail. They may choose to go to an early voting in-person site. As you noted earlier, it begins on October 17th. Some of them may, in fact, choose to vote in person, which will be very safe. We're going to great lengths to make sure that the polling places, as they were in the primary, are very safe, spacious, made sure every protocol is being followed. So there'll be multiple opportunities to vote. I'm hopeful and expecting of a larger turnout than we had in 2016.
And do you have a schedule or some kind of plan by which you believe you'll be able to count all the submitted ballots, you know, those cast in person that day, those cast by mail, those cast early?
All right, let me go through the various aspects of the counting. First of all, no counting will occur prior to 8 p.m. on November 3rd. What will happen at that time is we will be in a position, obviously, to count all the ballots that are cast in person at various polling places. They will be counted immediately as the close of the polls, assuming there's no line of people waiting to vote. Then there will be the opportunity for local election officials to centrally tabulate the mail-in ballots that they have received, as we did in the primary, and the two figures will be added together as part of the official returns, the unofficial returns. The reason I say unofficial, unlike the primary, where we had to have all vote-by-mail ballots returned by 8 p.m. on election night, that was the requirement of the statute, which was necessary in order for us to prepare the November ballot, there will be three additional days. So, in other words, as long as a ballot is postmarked by November 3rd, if it's received and mailed domestically and then received by November 6th, it will be included in the tally. Now, the tallying will be taking place, so we may well know, based upon the numbers that we have already counted, how many people have voted for one candidate or another, which would be determinative of the outcome. Lastly, we are required to keep the books open for an additional 7 days for military and overseas balloters, so for a total of 10 days. Usually that's a very small percentage of the number of ballots cast, very small. But obviously we owe it to those persons who are overseas, particularly if they're in the military, to make sure their ballots get counted. We will have unofficial returns that night, presumably, from the polling locations, as well as the central tabulation figures, which will give us the opportunity to look and see who's leading by significant amounts, which is what we had in the primary. So based on that experience, I think we'll have a pretty good idea the night of the election.
So I want to ask, the Boston Globe's reporting that in the primaries, nearly 18,000 ballots were rejected. What are the main reasons for that? And is that more or fewer rejected ballots than you would have anticipated from the primary?
Well, it's fewer than the last 2 years. It was less than 2% overall, as opposed to what was in 2018 and 2016. But I want to make a few observations about this. This is rejected ballots. We know, for instance, at least 1,700 of those rejected ballots were from people that chose to vote in person. So it doesn't mean that people didn't get to vote. It means that the mail ballot that they had initially selected was not counted because, as I just mentioned, 1,700 right. of them were persons who chose to vote in person. We actually think the number is higher because some of the ballots that might have been received late came from people who we know were checking on our website their ballot, didn't see it received, and chose to vote in person, which they were allowed to do, which, of course, when their ballot came in late after the close of the polls, it could not be counted and shouldn't be counted. Some of the ballots were rejected because there was no signature on the return envelope with the ballot. That is required. You have to have a signature. It's the authenticity of the ballot. We could not and should not count ballots without a return signature. In fact, local election officials are required to cross-check the signature. So the number is actually much lower as a percentage of the total number of people who voted than past experiences. But also, I'm suggesting to you, it doesn't necessarily mean these people who originally proposed these ballots didn't actually vote. As I already mentioned,
Secretary,
can I make a point, though, about vote by mail?
Yeah, yeah.
That is, as I mentioned earlier, there'll be three additional days. That's different than the primary. So that alone will reduce the number of persons who might have a late ballot.
So then is there, anything else that voters should do or that you are doing to try to reduce that, the percentage of ballots that are rejected in the
yes.
general?
First of all, voters, we hope to have the ballots out to voters as early as next week. And if, in fact, they know what they want to do, they've made all their decisions, they should vote and return their ballot as soon as possible. That will help. Secondly, we intend to expand the number of drop boxes. There will be boxes located at city and town halls and other municipal sites that voters can bring their ballot to. We also will have additional sites for voting, early voting in person, where voters will be able to bring their ballots as well. Between all these opportunities, it seems to me voters have multiple opportunities to return their ballot should they choose to vote by mail. And as I already mentioned, the additional 3 days.
You mentioned 3.3 million votes cast in 2016 and that you
right.
think we're going to surpass that this
time. I think
time.
We are. I do.
Do you have the resources that you need to process that, given that we are have expanded mail-in voting for
well,
this year?
I think,
do you
again,
feel
we
like
very,
you have what you need?
We had a great challenge in the primary, which we met. We had a record turnout. So over 700,000 people voted by mail. It is going to be challenging to local election officials. I've had conversations with the governor about trying to get them some additional financial assistance to hire more help. We believe we will. We're monitoring it very closely. We're speaking with them on a daily basis almost. So we know exactly when they're getting applications in. We're getting the ballots to them as rapidly as possible and urging them to process them, that is, send them out as rapidly as possible. I think we will. Based upon our experience, I'm optimistic. It is a very big challenge. We've never had a challenge like this before in terms of the amount of mail. And I think it's obvious, maybe I have to state it, but it should be obvious, that in order to accommodate voters' desires not to go to the polls in person, somebody has to make up for the work, that the steps that normally wouldn't exist. When a voter votes in person at the polls or even at early voting, they leave their ballot with the election officials. There's no issue about getting it to them or getting it back from them. When you're giving them the opportunity to vote away from an official site, then, of course, you're creating multiple opportunities. First of all, the application has to be received, the ballot has to be mailed out, the ballot has to be returned, the ballot has to be checked in, has to be authenticated, the signature. So there's many more steps. So it presents many more possibilities for problems and obviously a lot more work. So yes, is it more challenging than we've ever had? Yes. Am I optimistic that we can meet it? I believe we can.
That is Massachusetts Secretary of State Bill Galvin. Thanks for joining us today.
My pleasure. Thank you.